All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Darren Tipton with another episode of the VB Adrenaline Podcast. And we talk with people from all over the volleyball world. And today, I'm happy to introduce Andrea Nucete Elliott. And she's one of the more interesting characters I think you're going to find in the sport, from her history with the sport to her entrepreneurial success with products in the sport, and her significant other is a fairly important person in the sport as well. So, Andrea, thank you for taking time to meet up with me and talk.
Yeah. Hi, Darren.
Hi. We'll tell everybody, and I don't know, because we are going to talk about our dogs in this thing also, so I don't know how we're going to keep this to half an hour, but we will try. So let's talk a little bit. Let's just start with your playing career and talk about how you got into the game, your beach career, and how that got you started.
Yeah, so I have been an athlete since the age of four. I was born in Venezuela, and I was I played tennis up until 15. But even when I transitioned countries, I was born in Venezuela. I lived there until I was 11. Then I moved with my grandparents, who were World War II immigrants, back to their home country, that is Italy. And I continued to play tennis up until the age of 15. My home wasn't a very stable home. So once there were a couple of instances in which, you know, I couldn't continue to go to tennis practices. So I had to look at different avenues. My mom forcefully pulled me out of tennis, and I started to play volleyball by chance at 15. I wasn't very good at the beginning, but I had a really good footwork and eye-hand coordination. So the coaches kind of like threw me in the middle because I could slow down some balls, but I couldn't serve over the net. I couldn't do anything. And I was pretty behind. I kind of like took that as a challenge. And I spent probably 6 to 8 hours in the gym after school and got my first pro contract at 16. So probably 10 months or 10 to 12 months after I ever touched the volleyball for the first time. I took a deep dive, and academics and sports, I like to say, that saved my life. I focused on that and kind of tuned the rest of the world out. And I started to play volleyball, played in Italy for 8 years in the league there. And I moved to the U.S. Originally to study neurosurgery and rekindle my dad's relationship, whom I didn't spend much time when I was a kid with. But we don't know what the world has in store for you. So I had to pivot a little bit once I figured out that I didn't have enough money to pay for undergrad in one of these super, you know, bougie universities that is super expensive. And, you know, it wasn't like Europe, that depending on your tax bracket, you would just go to school and paid what, you know, could afford. It was just more like, this is really expensive. And I couldn't afford that. So I went to the community college and transferred into Texas in 2015 and finished my undergrad there, and then started a business. In between those years that I was transitioning between Houston and Austin, I started to play beach volleyball since I wanted to play a professional in the U.S. and there was not an indoor professional league. I kind of like missed the window for that. Sure. Now we have two minimum, and there is plenty of opportunity for those indoor players to come in and play from different countries as well. So that's how I kind of started in beach. Started playing at Third Coast in Houston, and the girls kind of snobbed me because I was really bad at it. So it kind of repeated itself from when I started playing indoor. But the guys were like, come on in, we'll let you play with us. And
right.
I started to get the hang of it. And I was invited to California because I did a USA HP trial or something. And I was really good physically. You know, I'm fast, and I would just break all this number records. And they were like, come on out to California. And I remember Anna Collier, who was coaching USC at the time, said, like, who's this person? Like, where'd she come from? But I didn't have a US passport, and I didn't know what I was really trying out for. I was just trying to play something competitively. I got my humility bath out there in California, where I was coming from making money indoor, and I was just playing the wind. I was absolutely lost. Probably the only thing I could do very well was to serve. Anything else was just a humility bath for me. And I took that as a challenge. I was like, oh, this reminds me of something. And I started just to keep working at it. And it's one of those sports that luckily you can play for a very long time. And you always are learning something new, you know, whether it's the wind, whether it's the location that you're playing in, people that you're playing with, you know, it's like a partnership. And that's, in a nutshell, my sports journey.
Well, so then when, and let's transition in, because we went to, I first saw your business side, and I didn't know anything about it, and I've done a lot of research now, but as it says, TIY Products CEO, when did that all start to happen? And let's talk about that a little bit, because at least the volleyball world, the club volleyball world, it's your products are everywhere.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So the initial idea was Jared's. So my husband has a different brain. He has a crazy entrepreneurial way of seeing life. He's one of those people that can see something and tell you how it could be better in 7 different ways. I don't have that gift. I am very much a very disciplined person. I'll make something happen from point A to point B. I'm very execution oriented, but DIY was a mix of those things. It, on my side, I brought in the expertise in textiles and fashion, and my personal experience, because I used to wear 5 hair ties to put my hair up when I was playing volleyball, and I liked my ponytail to be high, perky, to be there. And my hair is very straight. So whenever I was competing, I didn't want to readjust it. I didn't want to touch it when it was wet or when I was sweating. And the second part to that is my hairdressers, when I was going to work in the modeling and fashion industry, were telling me to stop tying my hair the way I was because I was damaging it. And they were trying everything. They were using expensive masks, the right shampoo for my hair, the right conditioner, but ultimately I was damaging it by the way I was putting it up, especially because I didn't apply any heat to it. The second part of the story, Mr. Jarrett, that has a very different way of looking at things, has been coaching women for over 27 years now or something close to that. So I think he had it one day, and he was just like, what's the problem? Because his players were readjusting their hair continuously during practice. I think it happened during a national semifinal. During a timeout, one of the girls snapped her hair tie, and something happened that made him pay attention to that. And he just asked the girls, what's the problem? And they all came back to him with different like reasons why they were having issues with their hair tie. It was breaking, wasn't holding their hair. It was giving them headaches. They were stretching out. They needed a couple to hold their hair in a pony. So kind of like that sparked it. He asked the question, is there something that you can just make that is right for you and for the volume of your hair? And they were like looking at him like crazy. So we, over the course of 2 years, designed a technical fabric that is completely different. Yeah. And it is 13 times stronger than a regular hair dye, twice as stretchier. But over time, we learned that there is benefits to the product for your hair. So the health benefits over time reduce the headaches, scalp damage, breakage in your hair. It doesn't dent it. It doesn't pull it. It doesn't tug it. So all these other were side effects of creating a fabric that just would not break, which is what I needed. I needed something that I could use a lot of and that didn't stretch out and didn't break. And he did research on the market and there was nothing that you could just customize. So that's how DIY was born.
And it's everywhere. I mean, like I said, I saw your little booth and I'm sure you're used to people maybe saying, hey, that's Jared Elliott's wife, right? And she and you're just over here peddling those things at Triple Crown, and the line, it was like the ice cream stand, right? Like, and then I went back, I was just telling you before we started recording, I was at a club tournament this weekend. And I'm like, what's the name of her company? It's the hair ties. And three mm-hmm. club girls were sitting right in front of me and they turned around and they're like, TIY. And they were all wearing them.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's been it called wildfire, I think, over the course of the past couple of years. More and more volleyball players are seeing the benefits and it's become more like their uniform. It's something that they are having fun matching with their outfits, but it also works. It's kind of like what their knee pads are doing. They don't have to readjust their hair. They get to lock in their hairstyle. They don't have to redo it while they're playing. Coaches are probably happy about that. But they get to feel good. It's a, I wish you could try. You know, it feels a very secure in your hair in a way that nothing else does. When you put your hair up as a woman and you're trying to wear it out of your face, usually you have to compromise hurting your hair or your head for the look. If you want it to look a certain way, it's going to hurt. Yeah. Well, with DIY, that doesn't happen. So I think more and more girls and collegiate athletes are starting to feel that. And once they try it for the first time, they're kind of hooked. They love it. And they come back for more colors, their university colors, their high school colors. We do a fundraiser that is called Tie That Binds because it's a product that can be used by anyone independently of what you look like or where you come from. So and it's kind of a universal product. And it's really true to the fact that any person with any hair type can use it.
That's awesome. So we'll get in more. And you're going, we talked a little bit about it is a lot more than just a hair tie for volleyball players. Talk about some of your work with the government and testing and just it's going towards a lot bigger, I think, things in the future.
Yeah. So one of the things about the TIY fabric is that it doesn't really break at the same rate that a regular elastic does. Normally what you find in hair ties is that they're either glued or they have a little piece of metal that it's easily, you know, a breaking point. So we have a certification in our lab. You have a certain PSI at which the elastic will break. DIY, with the combination of its fabric and the fact that you just make a square knot, does not break that easily. And that is why we're 13 times stronger than a regular elastic. Also, this finds a perfect application in governmental forces like the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, where women or people with long hair have to put their hair up, and it's a requirement. It's a, you know, when you are out on a mission, it's a life or death situation. And a lot of, actually a friend, a really good friend, came up with a really good point. Because you can undo the TIY in an emergency situation, you could undo the knot and create a tourniquet if you were to need it. So we're heading in certain directions with the government in that way, and also with the healthcare professionals. We are reading a lot of reviews from nurses and women that have to wear their hair up for long shifts, whether they work in a hospital or whether they work in the food and beverage industry, where it's a requirement to put your hair up. And they are raving about the fact that they don't get headaches. You know, they are not getting that tug feeling that will result into receding hairline when you get older and your hair becomes more delicate. So we're seeing our application in different fields because of its technical side and because it's a better fabric.
Yeah, that's awesome. You told me that whole story and went on your Instagram page and checked out some of the testimonials on your business page. It's amazing that especially somebody like me would never think of or think why that's important. So it's pretty crazy how, A, it totally fits your guys' lifestyle with the volleyball world in your past, but it's doing a lot bigger things. Let's take a break right now, and we're going to come back. We're going to dive into the really good stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about dogs, which could take us both an hour. And then we might even touch on a little Texas volleyball in a little bit, again, with Andrea Nucetti Elliott. And at right now, though, let's a look at our prospect profiles for this week. And this, again, are three spotlight player profiles from VBAdrenaline.com. This has been so helpful to our staff, more and more athletes signing up. It just gives us a chance to get to know them more and also a way for them to put out a little bit of a professional resume of their achievements, some of their athletic test scores, et cetera. And it's really going to help us as we head into this 2026 recruiting class and going forward. So again, this week's spotlight prospect profiles. The first one, and we focused on actually three 2027s this year. And the first, Cora Bickness, and she plays for Vital Volleyball Club out of Minnesota. And I was able to watch Cora for the first time live this past weekend. She actually earned all tournament team at Show Me Qualifiers from Chatfield High School, Libero DS. I can see a couple of the camps that she has already attended, and I'm sure there's quite a few more coming this summer. But if you haven't gotten a chance to watch Cora and her Vital team yet, make sure you do that. Just another one of the talented bros in the class of 2027. And Sakura, look forward to watching you a little bit more. Next up is Kendall Hubbard. And Kendall plays for Elevation, a setter up in that upper Midwest. We talk about that being the heartland of volleyball. And you can see a few of her prospect camps she's already attended and some of her scores. Kendall wrote us a really nice note, a really personalized note about some of her career objectives and really a high character kid. So Kendall, keep up the great work. Another 2027 setter and run that 6'2", plays a little opposite as well for Elevation Volleyball. And finally is Elena Ali Breitling, and out in Vegas, plays for the Vegas Aces, goes to Bishop Gorman High School, one of the most noted high school programs in the country. Already, even as a 2027, block touch 112 inches, getting close to that 10-foot mark with her approach touch, and she's 5'10", and as she told us, still growing every day. So Elena Breitling, Vegas Aces, and then she plays for the powerful Bishop Gorman High School team. So we want to say thank you to all three of this week's spotlight player profiles, but everybody that has submitted that form, updated it. It's just a cool way for us to track you all the way through your process and for everybody that tunes into our page to take a look and tell your story a little bit and for us to get to know you better. So if you want to, go to vbadrenaline.com. Anybody can fill those out and we'll follow you all the way through your signing day. So again, with that, let's head back to this week's episode and this week's special guest, and I think bring Andrea Nucetti Elliott back on, and we talked about her entrepreneurial spirit, her business, which is thriving, her career and moving to the U.S., her adventure with the sport, and that also led to you meeting your husband. I don't know if you want to tell us that story. Can we maybe lead in and then we'll talk about our love of dogs, but maybe tell us how you met Mr. Jarrett and how that all started, and then we'll touch on our dogs a little bit.
Yeah, so when I decided to come here, I was already out of recruiting age. I couldn't play. I wasn't eligible for NCAA volleyball. And he won the national championship in 2012. I was moving here in the spring of 2013. And in Italy, we don't send very many emails. So I didn't really know. I was searching for a club that for me meant professional. All I would get in contact with were under 18 clubs, because that's what for Americans being in a club means. For us, it's just the professional organization that is your club, like football club, volleyball club is the same terminology. So I sent him a Facebook message and I said, Italy volleyball help. And he responded, you're too old. That's how we connected for the first time. And then we, through volleyball, stayed in touch. He was trying to explain to me why I could not play. I came to one game in the fall of 2013, he thought I was super boring. And I just, in reality, couldn't understand what he was saying, not one word. So he speaks really fast, for those that know him, and he mumbles a little bit. So it's hard for a foreign person to understand what he's saying. So I was on that boat. But it was really good, like via text. So he was trying to be very helpful. And, we thought nothing of it. Later in the spring of 2014, he didn't have his kids, didn't have any friends in town, and South by Southwest was rolling around. And he said, hey, do you like music? And I said, yeah, sure. He's like, well, if you want to come, there is a very good music festival, and I'll show you Austin. And it's really funny when he says the story. You know, we didn't think of that as a date until probably like the end of the night, and kind of like sat there and I just asked him, like, hey, what are you thinking? Because I was gonna drive back to Houston that day, but he just said, I really want to give you a kiss, and we've been together since that day.
Well, that really is how you met, and I'm sure Coach appreciates that. But I want to say, as we show a couple of your pictures, but like, we follow your Instagram, one word I would use with you is authentic and real. Like, you're out there for everybody, your thoughts, your emotions, and really, you do a really good job of diving in and talking about your guys' relationship like you're just a normal couple, right?
He's my best friend. Yeah, I'm lucky to be able to be by his side whenever he needs me. And hi, he's here.
Hey, Tom, doing? How are you?
Is she telling lies about me?
Well, she told us about your first kiss. That was pretty cool, I guess.
Always puts me on the spot.
Yeah, he hates attention, and I love it.
I'm good.
I'm good. Well, we'll come back. We can come back to the romance first, since we have Coach joining. I want to bring up these next slides, because I told people my story is we are all, I think the three of us, safe to say, we're dog lovers. And hold on, we'll skip through mine. I'll brag about mine later. But I, last year, and I told Andrea before we started, my lack of knowledge and being so new to the sport, I am just pretty genuine. I don't know what I should say and maybe what I shouldn't say. So I don't know everybody, and I meet people, and all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, you win the national championship, and then somebody tells me I need to go to this Lone Star qualifier. So it's my first time ever in Dallas, and I had no idea what to stay. So I picked the closest hotel to the convention center, and I'm pulling up last April, and all of a sudden, there's this really tall, bald-haired guy walking this beautiful puppy, and I'm a huge dog lover. And then I did a double take. I'm like, I think that's Texas's head coach. And the next day, Craig Skinner introduced us, and I'm like, hey, I saw you out. I think you were making your dog go to the bathroom in front of the Omni Hotel. And you're like, yeah, my wife told me to take the dog out. So I was being a good listener, and that's how I met you, Coach. So
that's true. She definitely puts me on errands.
Yeah, being a good listener is always a good thing. So just talk about, I think it's so cool, and I talk to people all the time about dogs, but it's weird that here this multi-time national champion coach and just some guy from South Dakota can share a love of dogs. And dog lovers all understand and they all get it, that they literally are like your kids. And so tell us about the pup, who's not tiny anymore, name, and Audrey, your training sessions with him.
Yeah, Izzy, her name is Izzy, and she's almost 4 in October. And she's actually, Andrea will probably say this, but I was very reluctant to have a Doberman. I didn't want to have a Doberman because I was thinking, like, we had this nice big backyard, and they weren't safe dogs. And so I did a little homework, and one of my friends actually raised a bunch of them, and he said, like, hey, they're like big lap dogs. They're so great. And then we went on this journey to find the dog, and we found her via a breeder in Oklahoma, and it was just a match made, and she's been the most incredible dog ever. She's low maintenance, she's easy, and she's super loving, so it's been so much fun.
They how much does she weigh now?
83. She's a big girl.
Yeah. That's not horrible though for a Doberman. I mean, for a Doberman, she must, obviously she's in great shape. The training, did you guys do all the training on your own, or did you take her to behavior classes when she was a pup?
We did obedience and a little bit of protection when in Houston. So I do reinforcement with her. She's an incredible animal. Like, she learns so fast. And it's been so easy to understand how she learns, so I can teach her anything. She probably understands me to a level of a 2-3-year-old. It's incredible.
They, I'll show you mine with Jack. So I've rescued, somehow I got a Vizsla in the mix, but I've rescued a Weimaraners for the past 15 years. So they really are like your kids, and dog people just get it, I think. And Izzy's beautiful. Are you guys going, I'm sure Coach has to be there, but Andrea, do you get to go back? Are you going back to Lone Star? And is Izzy going to be there again?
We are, I think.
Yeah, we're going separately. I'm coming back from recruiting. I'm taking a red eye in that night on Thursday. I arrive Friday morning at 5:30, and I'll be there. And I think she's coming up either Friday or Saturday. We have an event in New York on Monday for Madison Skinner with the Sullivan Award. And okay. We're actually trying to get all the paperwork in, because from there we're going to head out for my birthday for couple of days down to Costa Rica and take her down there and let her run on the beach for a while.
I thought you were at your birthday right now. So you get,
that's what I'm thinking.
Well, my wife started a thing, you know, when it's her birthday is January 31st. It starts January 1st. So she gets the whole month. So
he got a little jealous, competitive. So now we're celebrating here. I just surprised him with something very simple, never standing out on anything, just very simple gift.
Yeah, just a simple little gift in Augusta, Georgia, at just the perfect week of the year you guys picked. I love that. But they, Coach, real quick, we'll ask you one more question, then we'll finish up with your wife. I want to go back. What's it like? Because Andrea, do you get to travel to a lot of the away games? Because I've seen it. And a couple, so is that something that you try and do? Or are you busy, you know, during the season with your own business?
Luckily, my job, I can do from anywhere. And I have a really good, you know, group of people that are helping support what I do. And I try to be, with his schedule, it's absolutely brutal, whether it's recruiting or whether it's in games. I try to be there when he needs me. So I try to go as much as I can to the games, even if it's just, you know, if he's busy all day and I'll just work and then we'll have dinner together and we get to sleep in the same bed. It's one of my favorite things. I know it's for him the same. Like, I don't get to sleep very well when he's gone. So it's hard.
It's nice to have a coach.
It's important for our relationship. Obviously, I think it's hard being a coach, and the relationships are challenging. But I think also she's become a big part of our program with the players, and they really admire her, and they have great relationships. And she can kind of be a mom away from home, and it's just nice to have her by my side, but also for the team.
Well, you guys talk about, and Andrea said before you got on here that that you're her, you guys are best friends, which is so cool. But do you guys have to separate, Andrea, with your, you know, being a volleyball player, having that history? I mean, do you separate or do you try and give coach some advice, or is it just...
No, we talk very little volleyball, believe it or not. It's more about how can we be helpful for one another? How can we support the people that are around his program and, you know, in the best way possible? They have a great coaching staff when it comes down to volleyball. There is a zero I can add to that. And I can just cheer them loud and just be there if anyone needs anything besides volleyball. I'm sure they got all those bases covered.
Well, I just love it because I think we had talked a little bit at Triple Crown that you are, I think you put it pretty well. You just said, I'm just me, meaning, I mean, the fashion's important, the screaming loud, the cheer for your husband. You're just you, and unapologetically are just you. And I think that's awesome. But talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Do you have to go? Oh, you want to stay? Okay. No, it's, you know, I've faced a lot of things in life, and they don't define me, but they have contributed to knowing that being vulnerable is a superpower and not a weakness. And I think the both of us talk about it all the time. You know, his mom before passing told him good people love people, and I didn't have a good experience. I was very angry for a very long time at the world because of the things that happened to me when I was younger. And a big upside of our relationship is seeing life from a different point of view. And I think that has helped immensely, being okay with who I am. And, you know, if someone is mean to you or they're angry, something it's being expressed about their own trauma and their own journey, and it says way more about them than it says about you. So I've come to learn that side, and it's not easy living in the skin of someone that has gone through a lot, especially early on in life. But I think if there is anyone that could benefit from me being just me and knowing that that's okay in the good days and in the bad days, it's the most important thing, because this perfection, this idea of perfection, is not really attainable for anyone.
Well, I am so glad that I borrowed all these pictures from your Instagram. And I am so glad I had gone, because I learned so much, just your introspective, and there's a little bit of philosophy on your page. There's just some real good posts that make you think, and I kind of said, man, it just kind of makes you slow down. And the word I just keep using with you is real, and I think that's amazing. And for young females out there, volleyball or not volleyball, go follow Andrea's Instagram page. There's the business one, but a personal one, and you just are who you are. And I think in today's world, that's getting less and less common. And so I applaud you, and it makes me smile anyways, because you seem to be a pretty genuine person, and love the situation that you guys are in. But just tell me though, what is Austin like? Cause I hear that there's just one Austin, Texas.
You say it.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's obviously growing, and now it's become the 10th biggest city, but it's always been about people, and it's always been a very genuine city. I think a lot of people that come in from different states realize how many people say hello, and very easy to talk to people. And there's so many things and activities to do where you meet people, whether it's being outside on the hike and bike trail, whether it's the lake or the live music capital of the world. The restaurants are amazing. There's so many great opportunities to do things away from the volleyball court, at least for our kids. And it's just, it's a tremendous city that most of them end up staying in because there's just so many opportunities.
I mean, if it's 10th biggest city, obviously extremely large, but does it have a college town feel?
Oh yeah, big time. I mean, around the college athletics, when you step on campus, you can kind of feel the aura. I think there's just so much uniqueness. Obviously there's so much energy right now because all of our sports programs are pretty much in the top 10 or top five and competing for national championships. So everybody's kind of going towards the same goal. And there's a lot of, you know, for our players, they have a lot of friends that are in other sports that are like-minded where they get to kind of bounce ideas off and kind of learn and understand what it means to be in those big moments and understand, you know, how important it is because winning is super hard. And it just gives our athletes kind of that one little extra edge that they have. But it's most importantly, it's just enjoyable for them to be kids and enjoy their teammates and their fellow friends that are on other teams to go out and support them.
Wow. Well, I always heard there's a T-shirt out there that said that I've seen three or four times. It just says, "Keep Austin weird." And I think that's meant in a good way. But is that because of all, just like you said, the huge music festival, all that's going on, the arts on the campus community? Is that what people mean by that?
I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's the art and just the energy around it. But I think it's also not just bringing in commercial companies and they try to keep it really localized so that the local owners are able to keep their stores. I mean, obviously we have Starbucks that's in there, but there's a ton of, you know, small coffee shops and different uniquenesses that they don't want just the chains to come in and be kind of own the city. And I think there's with the arts and that it's been a big theme. As you said, you see it all over the place.
That's awesome. Well, I know you guys are in Augusta. I appreciate your time. And Andrea, I hope that now we've seen each other. I hope that I do get to say hi in Dallas this weekend. If you guys are there and if Izzy's there, I'd probably rather talk to her than either of you two. But that's not a knock on you guys at all. But thank you for your time. And I think it's so amazing because I really took this year to learn more about Coach's program, and meeting you has helped me do that. But would you tell everybody, what is your Instagram, your personal Instagram account, if athletes, players, people want to go follow that?
Ready for the spelling bee? It's my name, altogether without the hyphen. So that's that.
Awesome. Well, you keep me real. I thank you for your guys' time. And Andrea, I say this, that the coolest thing about this venture for me is meeting a lot of people that become my friend. And I consider you one of my friends now. So best of luck to you. I will see you on the college tour, if not the recruiting tour soon. And Coach, best luck. Enjoy one of your birthday presents. Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll be in Dallas, not this weekend, but the following weekend is where we'll be there. But if you ever want to come down to Austin and see Austin, come on down and see it. We'd love to host you for a game and show you what a great environment it is.
Yep, and I'm going to try and sneak down there during camp season, I think, this year. And we're going to do a little a camp tour of the country. And I saw you guys play in Minneapolis last year, but I have not been to a home game, a home match. And I'm also a former football coach. I heard the football team's decent. And Saturdays are pretty cool in Austin too. So
yeah, we can come to both of those. Come down and we'll.
Yeah.
And Andrea knows everybody on school. So not a shocker, but she can get you around and enjoy the place.
Well, if I'm going to hang out with her, I better go shopping because I don't have the wardrobe to keep up with that lady. So, you know, yeah, you guys have a great time. I appreciate getting to know you guys. Enjoy your time in Georgia, and we're going to let them go again. That's Andrea Musetti Elliott and Jared Elliott jumping in and joining us as well from Augusta, Georgia. So take care, guys. I'm going to let you guys hop off as I end this thing. Take care. Andrea, be well. We'll see you.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Again, this is going to wrap up another episode of the VB Adrenaline Podcast, and we hope you enjoy it. Understand, as we get to meet all kinds of people around the volleyball world, and this sport grows in many, many ways. And there's a lot of really cool people, a lot of good people, and I could just talk to one of them. So that's really cool. Again, if you want to follow us on X, at vbadrenaline.com, and on our new Instagram that, again, we're rebuilding one follower at a time after we got hacked a few weeks ago. So that's at Adrenaline Volleyball, and help us rebuild and get back to that 16,000 follower spot that we were at before. So Darren Tipton here again, and I thank you all for joining us and follow along and like our content. So until next time, take care.